Hey guys, once again, welcome to Echo Church Online. I am really excited to dive into part three of our series, In God We Trust. This year feels chaotic, but I want us to remember that in the midst of unsettling times, there is a God you can trust. God is bigger than our problems. God is working behind the scenes, working for us and for our good. You will never regret trusting God with all your heart. Hey, as we begin, let me remind you that we are planning to fully regather for in-person worship services just in time for the holidays, starting on Sunday, December 13th. We've got lots of fun plans for the Christmas season, including our first Christmas Eve service opportunities. I can't wait for those. I also want to personally invite you to join us in person or online for Legacy Sunday next weekend, November 22nd. Each year, we set aside a special once-a-year offering to echo God's love across our community and far beyond. And since they are wrapping up renovations in the auditorium, we'll gather in the gymnasium at Avon Middle School South next Sunday. Would love to have you there. Now, you may be wondering why we've notified you of this offering for several weeks in a row. And listen, it's really simple. We never want to surprise you. We believe that it's biblical to receive a special offering, and it's also biblical to give you notice so that you have time to pray. We do not ask for money, but we do ask you to pray. God, how do you want us to participate? Then simply trust and follow God. Then as a church, we'll support great organizations locally, help plant new churches nationally, and we'll fuel the mission of Echo Church into the new year. Listen, we also realize that everyone is in a different place. It has been a crazy year. So whether you're doing great or if you're struggling, come on, hear me on this. This is your church home and we are here for you. Be as generous as you can, but if you need help, please let us know. You can give online anytime, just select Legacy Offering, or you can give in person next Sunday. I also want to encourage you to text the word Legacy to 94253. You can use this form to give online, but what I love about it is that you can also share prayer requests with us for the new year. And then we can covenant together to ask God for breakthroughs in 2021. And let me give you one more quick note. Look for these details online, but I want to encourage you to also bring non-perishable food items with you next Sunday. You can drop them off before or after church, and then we'll deliver them to the food pantry in Danville, and then they'll be distributed throughout Hendricks County. Listen, let's be generous and let's echo God's love this holiday season. All right. If you're ready to jump into part three of our series, why don't you type this online, In God We Trust. That's the name of this series, and it's my heart in this season to help us more fully place our trust in God's hands. The title of today's message is a short statement. It's a challenge. It defies cultural norms, and it invites us to see more than meets the eye. Here it is, Look Again. Come on, let's have some fun with this. Type it online, Look Again. Tell someone around you and put a little attitude behind it, Look Again. What if everything is not as it seems? What if some things you once thought to be true deserve a second look? What if there's more to the story? What if some of the things you've been innately questioning should be challenged? Come on, say it out loud at home, Look Again. This has been a really tough year, but I can't count all the times I've heard someone say, you know, once this pandemic is past us, I hope we keep doing this, whatever that might be. In other words, it hasn't all been bad. When you're prone to complain, listen to me, look again. A lot of people have slowed down their frenetic pace this year. Others have gone outside far more than they used to. So many have decided what's really important, and they've let some other less important things go. Collectively, people are discovering some breathing room in their busy lives. I want to invite us today to challenge our conception of a successful life. What if our understanding of what it means to get ahead deserves a second look? Throughout the Bible, God invites us to challenge common ways of thinking. I'll share some today, but let me start with one of my all-time favorites. In the Old Testament book of Haggai, God is trying to get Israel's attention. For generations, they've ignored God's ways, so they're living under a curse. Year after year, they keep scraping by. So God kind of pulls a Dr. Phil on them and essentially says, "How's that working for you?" Read it along with me. And then a little later, God of the angel armies spoke out again. "Take a good, hard look at your life. Think it over. You've spent a lot of money, but you haven't much to show for it. You keep filling your plates, but you never get filled up. You keep drinking and drinking and drinking, but you're always thirsty. You put on layer after layer of clothes, but you can't keep warm. And the people who work for you, what are they getting out of it? Not much. A leaky, rusted out bucket. That's what. That's why the God of angel armies said, take a good, hard look at your life. Think it over." When God says, think it over, it's another way of saying, look again. So let me challenge us with this thought today. Look again. You're working hard. You're doing a lot of things. You're trying to get ahead, but do you feel like you're just spinning your wheels sometimes? Does it constantly feel like you can't get ahead? If so, it's time to look again at what it means to be successful, to look again at our conception of what it means to live the good life. With our time together, I want to give us three things to look again at what it means to be successful. Listen, we only get one life on earth. How will we spend it? Come on, three questions. Here we go. Number one, is more actually better? Come on, ask yourself this question. Is more actually better? Our world revolves around the doctrine of more, with every commercial on TV, every ad on social media, every billboard on the road. Get more, buy more, keep more, do more, have more. But can I just stop and ask the question, is more actually better? Has having more actually provided more peace, more joy, more happiness? In most cases, the answer is an emphatic no. More stuff usually leads to more stress. The endless pursuit of more tends to lead to more burnout and anxiety. The infinite wisdom of the rapper Notorious B.I.G. warned us years ago, right? More money, more problems, and he is spot on. But long before Biggie, there was Solomon, the wisest and richest man on the planet, and he says it so clearly, "Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind." It's better, Solomon tells us, to have one handful with peace than two handfuls and endless striving. What does he say? It's like chasing after the wind. It has no end and no way of knowing when you actually arrive. The sudden plunge into the pandemic brought to light that in America, listen, many people are living well beyond their means. The average household spends 136% of their income. And while the average car payment is $484 a month, a $400 emergency expense would cause significant hardships for 50% of households. Only 10% of people are mindfully spending with a budget, which means most people don't understand where their money is going. And I know this is how popular culture tells us to live, but can I respectfully respond to that by saying this? Look again. There's a better way. Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. The more we pursue stuff, what we come to learn is that we don't own the stuff. The stuff owns us. What if the stuff you have is actually robbing you of the life that you want? Is more actually better? Here's number two, the second question. Is it wrong to be rich? Another way of asking it is this, is it wrong to want more, or is it wrong to have more? We just talked about one handful living, but is it okay to strive for more? Now listen, not only do I think it's okay, I actually believe that the Bible commands it. Now, I realize that some of you, you're scratching your head. You may be looking at someone else on the couch and saying, Chad has lost it. Maybe, but stick with me for a second. It's not wrong to have more or to be rich. In fact, I would argue that most of the people watching this today already are rich. It's okay to have more. You just have to ask what the more is for. Did you hear me? You are rich, but you've got to ask God, okay, I have more. You've blessed me. So what is the more for? Look with me at the words of the Apostle Paul. He says this, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now, I know some people out there are thinking, whew, that scripture is for the rich people. That's not me. Because I know, listen, most people think, I know rich people and I'm not rich people. But the truth is, you are rich. If you have the option of 3 meals a day, you're in the top 40% of the world. If you live on more than $10 a day, you're in the top 20%. Tell somebody at home or type it online. Come on, let's have a little bit of fun this morning. I'm rich. It's true, you are. If you drove somewhere this week, you're in the top 7% of all the world. If you have a total household income of $44,500, please soak this in. You are in the top 1% on the planet. Listen, this is important to know. Not so that we feel guilty or shameful. Listen, that's not who we are as a church, and that's not who our God is. God doesn't want us to feel guilty. God wants us to feel responsible. This verse is for us because we are rich. Now let me finish what Paul says about being rich. We have more, but what is the more for? Paul continues, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. And in this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Paul commands us to be rich, just not in the way that you think. Paul says, be rich in good deeds and generosity. And when you do, you'll actually be stockpiling a treasure in heaven. Is it wrong to be rich? Of course not. But we must make sure that we know what the more is for. We must be willing to continually ask ourselves, what would it look like to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does? So we've asked ourselves two questions so far. Is more actually better? No, better is one handful with tranquility than two in chasing after the wind. So is it wrong to be rich? No, look again. We're commanded to be rich in good deeds. We're challenging ourselves to look again on three common misconceptions of what it means to get ahead and to live successfully. So let's look at the third and final question. Here it is, number three. Do I have perspective on what matters most? Listen, if you've lost perspective over the past several months, you are not alone and you're forgiven. No questions asked. Seriously, this has been one of the most unsettling and uneasy times that I can remember. But in the midst of turbulence, we must, come on, type that online, tell someone around you, we must come back to what matters most. Why? Because we are not owners of our lives. We are stewards. What's the difference? Owners call the shots. Stewards come back to God and say, everything I have is from you. What would you have me to do with what I have? Listen, this is so important. Often we get going with our busy lives and we lose perspective on what's really going on what matters most. So let me remind us of how good God is to us and what our response is supposed to be back towards Him. Listen, Paul's words are so helpful. Look at them with me. This most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. God is extravagantly generous with you. Everything you have, your time, your talents, your treasures, they're all from God. What are you supposed to do with His generosity? Paul says, give them away in order to produce lives transformed by God. In other words, this extravagantly generous God gives to you so that you can resemble Him when you're generous. Now, let me be as clear as I can with this. God is wildly generous with us so that we can experience His great love and so that we can help others experience His great love. That's His heart. That's His aim. That's who God is. But listen, as your pastor, I must also share that someday we will give account for what we did with what we were given. Jesus is clear on this. God will ask us, what did you do with what I gave you? How did you use your time, your talents, and your treasure to be generous in every way, which resulted in transformed lives? Are you accumulating on earth what you cannot keep, or are you investing in heaven what you cannot lose? Can I slow down and ask us that one more time? Are you accumulating on earth what you cannot keep, or are you investing in heaven what you cannot lose? This is part of what I love about our legacy offering. It provides a yearly reminder for us to slow down and ask, do I have perspective on what matters most? When God says, what did you do with what I gave you? May we respond with, God, I gave it back to you. I returned my time, my talents, my treasure to my God. And God, you used it to change lives. You use it so that someone looking for hope met with the living God and they were baptized into a new relationship with Jesus. Somebody was lonely and they found our church and they built strong friendships. Another person discovered their God-given purpose and they're living it out to the fullest. Others were hungry and you used me to feed them. Someone was without a home and you used my gifts to help them get back on their feet. Women and children were fleeing domestic violence and my support gave them a safe place to heal. I gave back to you, God, and when COVID hit, people looking for hope across central Indiana and way beyond were able to connect with Jesus through church online. Marriages were restored, spiritual decisions were made. God, I'm not perfect, but when I gave back to you, you perfectly used it to show hurting people a hopeful God. You used my time, my talent, my treasure to change the world. As followers of Jesus, what are we going to do? We're going to look again. Look again at what it means to live the good life. We're going to have less of what doesn't matter, but more of what does. Who are we? We're rich people, rich in good deeds and generosity. We are the church. We resemble our good Father. He's a generous giver, and when we give back to Him, He uses it to transform lives in the grace and power of Jesus. So, Father, we're asking ourselves some hard questions today because we want to rightly reflect Your heart as a giver. God, help us to drop the endless pursuit of more and trade that in for walking in peace with You. Less of what doesn't matter, more of what does. God, make us rich in good deeds that result in more lives transformed by Your grace. Right size our perspective. Make us stewards of our time, our talent, and our treasure. Make our lives reflect our great God. Hey, as you keep praying today, I want you to know there's another question that God asks. In fact, it's the most important question that God will ask every single one of us, and it's this: what did you do with my son? God knows that we need help because our actions have separated us from Him. There's nothing we can do on our own to get back to God or to heal the hole in our hearts. In His great love, God sent His perfect Son, Jesus. Jesus died on the cross so that you can be forgiven. Jesus rose up to new life so that anyone who calls on the name of Jesus will not only be saved, but they will be made 100% new. Today, as you're watching online, there are those of you recognize that you don't have that peace. You don't have that joy. You're watching today, not by coincidence. But you're here because God loves you and He wants to reveal Himself to you. So what do? You believe that Jesus is enough. Those of you who say, yes, I want to let go of my sin, my life, my past, and I want to hold on to Jesus. I want to follow Him. I want to surrender my life. I need Him. I trust Him. And Jesus, today by faith, I want to give you my whole life. If that's your prayer, listen, you're ready. Now's the moment. You need His forgiveness. You need His grace. That's why you're here. That's why you're watching today. You say, yes, Jesus, today I want to give you my life. Right now. Would you pray with me? Do not wait. Today is your day. You can pray it out loud. You can pray it quietly in your own heart. It's up to you. Something like this. Jesus, I give you my life. I believe you died to forgive me. I believe you rose up from the dead to make me alive. And today I choose to follow you. Guide me to follow you with my whole life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, let me be the first to celebrate this important spiritual step with you. I'm so proud of you, and I want you to do one thing before you do anything else. Listen, you cannot walk this journey with God alone. You weren't made to. You need a church family. So right now, text the word STEPS to this number, 94253. We'll send you a link for a form, and on the form that we send you, check the box letting us know the spiritual decision that you made today, whenever you were praying. We'll follow up with you, and we'll help you know your next spiritual step. Hey, in just a moment, we'll continue to lift our voices to the powerful name of Jesus, and we'll spend some more time in God's presence. But let me just give you some super quick notes before we do. Listen, for anyone wanting prayer, maybe you're interested in baptism or just wanting to take some next spiritual steps, text the word STEPS to 94253 and let us know how God is leading you. We are here to help you continue growing in God. Also, for anyone that's ready to begin using the resources we've already purchased for you from Dave Ramsey. Again, listen, just write the word Ramsey in the comments section whenever you text STEPS to 94253. Hey, if you have preschool and elementary kids, hop on our YouTube channel for their Uptown and Midtown worship and video lessons. They are not only a lot of fun, but a really great way to kind of take this season to spiritually invest in your children. If you'd like to give online, you can do so at echochurch.cc and simply click on the Give button. Or if you'd like to use the app, you can simply hit the Give button on the echochurch.cc app. I cannot wait for next Sunday as we continue in this series, In God We Trust. As you pray about how you'd like to participate in the legacy offering, we cannot wait to see you next Sunday, whether in person at Avon Middle School South or right here online for Legacy Sunday. All right, guys, follow Jesus with your whole life this week. Know that you are not alone because we are in this all together. As we trust God with our lives, He is faithful. Remember this week, look again. Maybe things aren't what they seem. Is more actually better? Not better is one handful in tranquility. Is it wrong to be rich? Nope. We're commanded to be rich in good deeds. And finally, is my perspective set on the things of God? Am I laser focused on making a difference? He blesses us greatly to be a great blessing. Hey guys, we love you. We're here for you, and we will see you next week. Let's